Blog Talk Radio.
There are places I'll remember all my life, though some have changed, some forever, not for better. Some have gone, and some remain. All these places have their moments. With lovers and friends, I still can recall. Some are dead, and some are living. In my life, I've loved them all.
Johnny Cash getting things started off with his cover of John Lennon's Beatles song In My Life. Very appropriate, I think, for Psychic Tapestry Spiritual Development Tune-Up Show. I'm Ken Kessler, and she is Michelle Amberge. Hi, Michelle.
Hi there.
I hope this isn't a harbinger of things to come, but that was way louder than it was supposed to be, and it would not let me turn it down. So Johnny just wanted to sound that loud. I'm glad that it was just Johnny and the guitar, because if that was one of the noisier songs that sometimes I pick, oh man, that would have hurt. We're here live. It is March 28th and Wednesday, and the phones are open. 347-838-9903 is the number, and there's a whole bunch of people on the phone already. So if you're thinking about calling in, and whether you have questions or comments about what we're going to talk about, or you're looking for a mini reading or anything along those lines, sooner is better than later. Anybody else just hear a cat?
Just that me. Was my cat. I apologize. It
okay.
was Groucho.
No, that's okay. That's okay. Sometimes,
Groucho
as you
the
well
radio
know,
cat.
Sometimes we hear things that other people don't hear. So I just wanted to start off making sure. I gave you the phone number. If you're listening to the show on the Blog Talk Radio website, scroll down, pop in the chat room. You can join us there. Hi to everybody in the chat room. You can also connect with us on social media, facebook.com/psychictapestry, at Psychic Tapestry on Twitter. And you can go to psychictapestry.com, and in the lower right, you'll see a little blue box that says send us a message, and you can connect that way as well. In fact, if you go to psychictapestry.com, you can also click on one of the choices is get a reading, and you when you get to the next page there, when that opens up, you will see that you can connect with Michelle. And if you can't get through or you're looking for something a little bit more private, you can connect with her and arrange for a private session, or to take one of her classes, or to just find out more about her, or just to check out her website, because it's really cool. So so there's all of that. Whew, that's a whole bunch of information to get started with. I don't remember if we had something in advance that we had planned to talk about, but something happened to me that I want to talk about, because I think it's something that you, Michelle, have dealt with, and you teach and offer sessions, and it's something that I think could happen to anybody, and you may not even realize what it is, but we've talked about past lives several times on this show and on the Saturday show.
Yeah.
And I have said many times, I have said to you, Michelle, I have said to other guests when the topic has come up, that I have had no feeling about a past life. I believe it. I totally believe that we've all had many, many lives. But I never had any sort of feeling about my own. And I felt like because of that, there might be two reasons. And one was that I am so awesome. I took care of whatever I needed to take care of in those past lives, didn't bring anything forward, have nothing else that I need to learn from them, and can just keep moving on. Or that something so bad, so awful happened that I have completely blocked it out, any possible thought about it. So I feel like one of those two things has been in play, and that's why I didn't know about past lives. And that's my best guess. I'm not pretending that I know anything. So I can't say anymore that I have that I have no feeling about past lives because something really odd happened to me. About 2 weeks ago, my wife and I had flown off to visit our son in college, and we're staying at some hotel that was near the campus. And it wasn't just that I couldn't sleep, but I suddenly felt the walls closing in on me. I never have been claustrophobic in my whole life, never have been. And I worked for a long time in radio where you are sitting in a little tiny booth for 6, 8, 10, 12 hours. And I never had a problem with that. Never had a problem. Been on long car trips in small cars, cramped cars, never had an issue with that. Never had any sort of problems. I mean, airplane bathrooms, pretty small. No, never had an issue. But this just seized me, and I had to throw the covers off and get up, had to get up. Felt this urgency that I had to, that I was just, and I couldn't sleep at all. That, I mean, until dawn, I was up all night. I just couldn't, and I tried several times, and I just couldn't fall asleep. And I never had that kind of experience before, and I chalked it up to being tired and jet lag and all kinds of, I mean, it was weird, a weird reaction because I was really tired and I wanted to sleep, but I just kind of chalked it up to, I don't know. A couple days later, we took our son out to a restaurant for dinner, and Lisa and I got there first, so we climbed into a booth, and I got in first, so I was up against the wall in the back of the booth, and then our son got there, and he sat down, and I started to have this feeling again, and I thought, this is dumb. I'm fine. I do not have any kind of claustrophobia. I can sit here and make it through an hour meal and not freak out. And that was not true. I couldn't. I just felt, I got to get out of here. And I made my wife get up, and I got out, and I went outside of the restaurant actually for a few minutes. And then when I came back in, I made her sit on the inside so I could sit on the outside of the booth. But I never had that before. And because I've gotten used to communicating with my guides and with angels, and I started to, I'm asking for help. I'm asking what is going on. And I had this feeling, kind of almost like a vision. I could see myself, and I knew it was me, but not Ken Kessler me. It was some other me. And I was trapped underground. And I could see way up over my head a little crack in the roof, ceiling, whatever, where light was coming in. But there was no way I could possibly reach it. And I just knew. I don't know if it was a mine. I don't know if it was some, I feel like it was some kind of archaeological thing, but I don't know what it was. I just had the absolute realization that that was some other life, and that happened to me, that trapped feeling. And And it kind of went away. I mean, it didn't keep happening night after night. I did the night after it happened. I did take some NyQuil, which usually knocks me right out. So I was like, I'm not waiting to see, because I know when that kind of thing happens, you can be your own worst enemy, and you can start to worry, is that going to happen? Is it going to happen? Is it going to happen? Is it already happening? Is it happening now? Is it happening now? And you can do that to yourself. And I didn't want, because I was so tired, I didn't want that to happen again. So so I opted for a NyQuil tranquilizer, and I was out. But nothing like that happened again for a couple weeks until, I think, the night before last. We went to bed, and we're chatting a little bit, and the chatter is starting to sort of fade away as we're kind of getting ready to drift off. And all of a sudden, I jolted and said, did you see that? And she said, see what? And I said, there was this light in the ceiling, and it's gone. And I don't know what it was. And she said she sort of was dismissed that, well, I might have had my eyes closed. I didn't see it. Or maybe it was a helicopter or something that went by. I mean, we're on our bedroom's on the second floor in the back of the house, so it wasn't a car pulling up. So I have no idea what it was. I mean, I feel like I know what it was. I feel like it was that light that I saw in the ceiling of roof of whatever I was trapped in. And I started to have that feeling again. So that's three times. And Michelle, in talking to you, I know that sometimes when you get to a certain age, and it's the same age you were in another life when something big happened to you, you get sort of a residual thing. Yeah. So I couldn't help but think about that. And otherwise, I just don't know. So I'm curious first, Michelle. I know you do past life regressions. You have studied this and you have done this for a while. And I'm interested in, before I say anything more on that, I'm interested in what any of what I have said feels like or means to you.
Well, the first thing that I got when you were talking and starting to tell the story, and just for our listeners, you know, Ken had said, oh, I had a weird experience. I think maybe, you know, I need to do some past life regression. And this is the first time I'm hearing it, just so everybody knows. The first thing I got is, not only was this an experience that you had, but it was somewhere near where you were when that happened, when you were in that restaurant. So wherever you were at that time, it was near that area. So it was a geographical trigger. It was a... I'm not thinking it was so much the age, because I feel like you were a bit younger. I feel like you were in your early 30s. That's just my intuition. Although we'll have to, you know, we'll look at that. But I feel like it was a geographical trigger as well. And so I'm not sure where you were or you know, what that area is like. But everything that you're describing is exactly how it happens, from the experiences that I've had personally and that I've had with my clients, because it's sometimes can be so completely take you over. I mean, it's like, I actually had a client come to me one time and thought that she was possessed because the feelings that she had were so strong. And she actually came to me for entity release, for a deep possession, and we realized that she was having a past life experience. So yeah, it's totally how it all happens. And sometimes it'll start coming in dreams. It'll kind of sneak up on you when you're not paying attention. And typically when it's as strong as that, it really is wise to do some past life regression, get in there, figure out one, why it's happening right now. Two, you know, kind of what happened. But three, if there's some re-scripting that needs to be done, which is one of the things that you can do in past life regression, where you actually change the energy of it, Because sometimes, I mean, if you really have that experience and being trapped in that way, you know, it can have some major trauma that you're carrying into this lifetime. And you can't actually shift the energy by doing rescripting, which basically you change the experience in the past life, in the hypnotherapy.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk to you about this on the show, not because free public therapy. I wanted to, I thought these are the kind of things that probably happen to people all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know what it is. All of a sudden, heights freak you out. All of a sudden, you can't go in the water and you don't know why. And this is, you know, I don't know, I can't say for a fact that every time something like that happens, oh, it's a past life thing. But it's something worth investigating. I mean, I did some meditation on it, and I found out a couple things, but I don't pretend that I could have, that I regressed myself, and I don't recommend that anybody try and do that. But I was more trying to connect with guides and find out what was going on and why. And that's why I had the you know, I saw the kind of the cave-in or whatever it was that happened. I don't even know exactly what happened. I will say that as far as it being a geographical trigger, this was somewhere that I had never been before. This was a state I had not. I was in radio a long time, as I said earlier, and because of that, I moved around a lot and I lived in a lot of states, but I didn't live in all of them. And this was a state I had never been to before. So it's quite possible that was the trigger. I don't really know. And the other thing I was thinking about, I know somebody. I have somebody close to me who was having an issue and was pretty sure it was past life related, that it was some kind of unfinished, I hate to say unfinished business because that's so trite, but it was it was that kind of thing that you know, I'm walking a delicate balance because I don't want to out who it is or their story because it's not for me to do, but it was something that beforehand they felt like they were losing their marbles. They were just they were so upset and they were unraveling, and I went with them and I waited in the waiting room while they went in and got and had the regression, and it fixed everything. I know that they were able to communicate with a sibling from this past life and exchange information that each of them did not have that made this situation better. And
oh, wow.
So that was, so that was terrific for them. But I think about this, where it appears that I probably, in that life, probably died in this cave-in underground, wherever it was. And I'm not, you know, there's part of me that's not excited about revisiting that. And I don't know how it is that, well, because it seems like what I have tapped into, or what has tapped into me, is a lot of the fear and the anxiety and lots of things like that I suddenly feel. And I can't help but feel like that's the tip of the iceberg, because I don't feel like this had a happy ending, and I don't know why. It's just a feeling I have. And I'm not sure, I'm not excited about turning the next page and seeing, hey, what happens to Ken the Miner next? Because, you know, I have no idea. And I don't know how having a regression will make me feel better about it, will make the little bursts of claustrophobia stop. I don't know if just talking about it will do that. I know that we can all be our own worst enemies. And if there's a night where I have any trouble falling asleep, I'm pretty sure that these thoughts will creep in, and whether it's related to this or whether it's just me being my worst enemy, I'll be sitting there thinking, is it happening again? Is it happening again?
Yeah.
It's not happening again.
Yeah.
It is happening again. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I don't want to spend the next 20, 30, 50 years dealing with that every night. So I don't know what the answer is. And I don't know, you know, without actually coming and seeing you and having a regression done, I don't know if you can tell me either. I'd be glad to hear whatever you have to say.
Well, one of the things, and this is just with everything, and being a healer and a therapist like I am, it's facing those fears are typically suggested. Because it's the running away that causes you the pain. It's the resisting the experience that causes the pain and the fear. Once you turn and face them, I've never had somebody's experience in past life be as bad as they were afraid it was going to be. But it is facing a trauma, and like everything that we fear, you know, turning and deciding to face that fear is 95% of the healing of it. So if it does get to be a source of anxiety for you, Ken, it's really important to get that regression and go take a look at it, or even doing kind of just a guided journey, even like a journey meditation kind of a thing could probably help too. But yeah, I just intuitively, I could feel it in your field really strong. But it may dissipate, and talking about it, you know, does help too. I think you're very courageous to talk about it on the air, because it's weird. It's weird.
It is.
I had an experience. I've had several of my past life things come to me in my sleep, and I had an experience of waking up out of dead sleep, sitting up, and actually seeing and feeling my head fall off. And looking up and seeing the stump where my head was. And like my head like spun. Yeah. You know, it can come to you in many different ways. And what's really weird is I've always had weird stuff about my throat and my neck. I've had thyroid issues. All of my issues are throat related. And then I had that experience and found out that there was a connection to a past life. And it was just like, oh, my gosh, I was beheaded. And it was a big traumatic thing. And oh, my gosh. But after I gave myself permission to acknowledge, okay, something happened, which you did, Ken. And so that's like, that's brave right there. Just going, yeah, okay, I see the connection. And I actually started looking into it because I knew right away who it was. And looking into it, doing some background, and then actually got to go over to England and actually sit at her tomb and have a little chit chat and got some information that way. So there's a lot of different ways that you can handle it, but it was really bizarre. And sometimes it does sneak up on you. Another thing that happens is sometimes when you have patterns throughout your life, like afraid of water, afraid of heights, because I'm terrified of heights. And I also have had some past life experiences where I know why that is too. But sometimes those kind of things, or sometimes people that have like problems with addiction, I've worked a lot, not so much drug and alcohol, but more like sexual addictions and gambling addictions. We've done past life and have found out where that came from. But fears, anxiety, all that kind of stuff, just OCD is another thing that can actually be being caused from past life experiences. And sometimes it's not just one past life. Sometimes it's one, two, three, four past lives where we're going over and over and over this experience. And another thing, too, is a lot of times there's a lesson that needs to be learned. or something that needs to be forgiven, or an awareness that needs to be had. And once that's done, that it'll be gone too. So there's a lot at play. It's not just like a single thing. There's a lot of layers to it, like everything else. But the first step is really turning and facing that which scares you the most and saying, okay, let's go take a look at it.
You know, for a long time on this show, on the Saturday show, when the idea of past lives came up, and we've talked about that there could be issues that you have in your life now that are results from that, whether, you know, I had thrown out heights and water and that kind of thing. And I had jokingly said, that's probably why I eat too much, because of past life. I could just blame it on that. And it was kind of like a joke. But I have, and it, you know, and I thought I'm so clever, and that's really funny. I could blame it on that. There, it's out of my hands. Not my fault. It was past life thing. Feel the very real possibility that in this past life, I starved to death underground, and that part of what I do now is overcompensate because of that feeling somewhere in the back of my head. I do feel like that, you know, all joking aside, that that's kind of connected. Because part of my food thing is that I do, and I'm quite aware of it, that I do feel like if it's something that I'm not supposed to eat and I wind up eating too much of it, I do feel like I'm not going to get another chance. You know, this is the last time they're going to have endless shrimp. I have to stay here until they make me leave, because I'm not going to have, I don't get to have this very often. I'm not going to get to have it again. It's not going to happen again. Hardly ever get to have that. Open a bag of potato chips. We hardly ever have potato chips. I got to eat the whole bag. But I do feel that compulsion. And I know part of it is just a lifetime of really bad food choices. but I also feel like that this could play a part in that, because I do, because it's, you know, I've looked into a lot of the reasons for overeating, and I don't seem to have any of those textbook sort of reasons, but I do have this feeling that I'm going to, the food's not going to be available to me anymore. And I used to joke about how, it's past life thing, it's out of my control. But now I start to wonder if it really is a past life thing. And if so, is it out of my control? I don't know. But the other reason that I wanted to bring all this up tonight was because I started learning about past lives when I started down this path. When I started down this metaphysical path, it was one of the things that came up, and I took a class to learn about it. And I didn't feel like I really learned a whole lot in it. And part of it was because I just didn't have any feeling about a past life. And everybody else thought that they were on the Titanic or had some feeling they were in the Civil War, or they just had some, and I didn't. And so I sort of, but it was there. It was part of the beginning of the path. And because this is a show about development and growth, and we talk a lot about things for those who are early on their metaphysical path, and I thought that this is appropriate. This is because when you start opening things up, it doesn't just open a little. There's floodgates, and there's lots of stuff. And I hope I'm not the first person telling you that if you have been taking classes or something or learning things, learning how to meditate, learning to connect with angels or your guides or both or whatever, there's a lot, and it opens up a lot. And
that's why it's important to have a good guide and spiritual teacher too. And if you're doing any kind of past life regression or hypnotherapy, that you have a trained clinical hypnotherapist, someone who knows how to do the therapy, who has studied and understands how to handle the emotional aspect of what's going on too. because it does open stuff up. So you don't want to just go willy-nilly doing past life with Susie Q down the street that took a two-day course. You know, you want someone who is a certified clinical hypnotherapist to do that, because there can be great emotional responses, and there can be. And when you start on your spiritual path, it does open stuff up. And that's why, again, it's good to have a really good spiritual teacher and someone who, you know, works in love and light and isn't shady and a good, you know, moral upstanding person, because there's a lot that can happen. And we do need guidance, you know. Anytime we open one of those new doors, it's always good to have a guide helping you out.
Yeah.
An earth guide.
So for those who don't know, what happens in a you know, as step by step as you can, what happens in a past life regression? And I know it's hard to say that because everyone is not the same, but what happens as far as what you do, and as far as what the person getting a regression, how it, for want of a better term, how it works?
Well, basically what we do is we do a nice little meditation to get you nice and relaxed. And then basically I take you on a journey. If someone is looking for a certain past life, like with your situation, Ken, when we want to go to a particular situation, a particular past life, a particular event, we will want to state that as I'm taking you down into, you know, the hypnotic state. And we'll want to state that that's what we're going to. And then I guide you through. I use Brian Weiss's thing of walking through a gate or stepping through a mirror, like going through something into something and into that past life. Basically, I'll have you step into a room of light to kind of get your bearings. And then I have people typically either look around the area or look down at themselves and begin to describe what they're seeing. And then as we do that, we'll move to wherever we need to be in that lifetime or in that environment to find out what we need to find out. Sometimes the subconscious mind will really fight. I've done hypnotherapy or past life regressions where the client takes me all in a circle, all the way around everything that we're looking for. And so sometimes it takes a while in that space. But it was really a very traumatic thing. But at the same time, part of what we program into the process is that you do not have to feel the pain. You do not have to feel the trauma. And you do not have to be in there and experiencing it. You can stand back and watch it like a movie. So there's different ways you can set that up too. Some people, they want to be in there and they want to experience what that was like. Some people would rather just kind of watch it and see it like a movie, or like a play on a stage, depending on people's different kind of interests and stuff. But it's really very simple. There are some people that do past life regression that get really complicated with it. I keep things really, really simple so that you can experience what you're experiencing. And, you know, we can even go in to where, oh, maybe you want to like be there and experience it and change your mind. We can always change your mind. All of a sudden you're sitting in a chair in a movie theater and now you're just going to watch the rest of it. You know, we can do anything we want to. We're out of time and space when we're in that hypnotic state, and we can do anything. Now, if I'm dealing with somebody who is having patterning that's anchored in a past life, typically, once we find that, I'll want to go all the way back to the originating source of that behavior or anxiety or whatever that is. So it may be 15 lifetimes before that. And we want to go back to that originating source. And from that originating source, that original event, that original trauma, we can do what's called re-scripting, where we change what happened there. So instead of drowning in a pool, you actually, somebody comes in, your dad jumps in and saves you, you know, from the lake or whatever and pulls you out and you're safe and life goes on and everything is good. And what that does is it shifts the energy, boom, 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 through all those lifetimes to present lifetime and into the future. So that's another aspect of all of this that we can do as well, where we can actually shift the energy of it. And not just up to now, but into the future. And that's especially good, so, especially with phobias and stuff.
Some of my concerns about this, and you've addressed a couple of them. First, I know someone who had a regression done, and who in this past life, they had suffered a very traumatic and very painful end. And they were right there in it. And they were, and it was horrible. And I know, and I just have a feeling that what happened to me does not end well. And I don't want that. I don't want to feel that. That was the first thing. So you're saying that you can do this sort of detached, watching it unfold
watch
rather
it like
than being in it. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's a relief. The other thing is that I've looked into the whole past life thing and seen how different people do this. I know that there has been one where you walk down steps and there's a basket of reeds. Do you know this one? Where you turn the reeds are numbered and you turn them and it lets the whoever's doing the regression know how deep you are. And then you pick when you're down on that level and you get down to the level where you're deep enough, there are several different sets of stairs and you pick one and that leads down into whichever life you're going to look at. And my concern is that I'll pick the wrong stairs. And I'll come up with a whole new bunch of problems from some other life that I wasn't interested in dealing with, didn't want to deal with, don't need to deal with. But here I am, here I am during the Black Plague.
Now we know not to use the stair process with you, Ken.
Because
there's a million different ways to get people into that hypnotic state. I have four or five different ways that I use, and the stair is one of them. I use one that's called the 15th step, where it's actually almost like a chanting mantra that you do until you get into a very deep state. There's one that's the garden and the gate, which I find most people are so easy. It's soft, it's gentle, it's easy. Typically, you have an angel or one of your guides there with you. And there's a couple other ways to do it, too. But, that is a really good point, Ken, that what if you pick the wrong stairs? But your subconscious is guiding it, and maybe you need to pick those stairs.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe my subconscious is just as freaked out about all of this as I am and doesn't want to visit that past life and wants to go to the life where I lived to be a 90-year-old baker and I was just fine making cakes and cookies and woo! Everything is great. there were no problems, and I don't know, and I don't without doing it. I don't know how, but there are, there's also the loss of control, because you feel like I'm giving my brain over to you, and you're gonna guide me somewhere, but it feels like that.
Yeah.
Because for someone who has never done it before.
Right. It's basically like meditating. When you're meditating, you're completely aware. You're totally aware of what's going on. You're just in a deep state of relaxation. And when I do, especially past lives, you're talking to me throughout the whole time. What's going on? How are you feeling, Ken? Do you like what's going on? Do we need to take a step back? Do we need to maybe take a rest, Ken? How are you doing, Ken? How are you feeling about that, Ken? We're talking all the time. So you're not just kicked out into an open space or down into a cave or a hole and left to figure it out. I'm there with you at all times. And you're very aware of what's going on. You're just super relaxed.
So you're not programming me to go rob a bank?
Not unless I need you to. No. No, not at all. Because here's the thing with hypnotherapy. And I'm talking about hypnotherapy, not those hypnotists, those crazy guys up on the stage. That's a whole different thing. But with hypnotherapy, you're in charge. You're in charge of the whole thing. You're doing it. And ultimately, your therapist is guiding, but you're the one that's leading, if you will. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think we've
and let me tell
enough.
You about the hypnotist that you see up on the stage.
Uh-huh.
Those things are very, very under controlled situation, because what they do is when all those people are coming in to see those stage shows, those hypnotist stage shows, all those people are singled out and they're talked to and they're put in situations, you know, like people will come through and like, oh, hi. And they're played with and they're talked to and they're watched to find out the most gullible of them all, the most people pleasing of them all. And those are the people they pick to go up on the stage. So they design those shows for people that are super susceptible and super open and super cooperative so that they get the outcome that they do. But a clinical hypnotherapist is a different thing, where it's a process that's designed to work with the mind, with the subconscious mind, and with the client to your benefit, to reach a goal that you're reaching for. Nobody, you will never do anything that you don't want to do under hypnotherapy.
So how do you find somebody, aside from that everyone should just contact you at michelleamberge.com, how do you find somebody out there? Because, I don't know, do you need a license to do this? And if you
yes.
do, what's the what? Who gives out the licenses?
Well, here's the thing.
How do you,
first of all, you want to choose a certified clinical hypnotherapist. You want somebody who's involved with ongoing training or ongoing, basically ongoing training. There's a lot of different organizations that are that hypnotherapists have that they go to like every month, and they get training, they get contacts, they continue their certification. It's a certification, it's not a license, unless you're an actual psychotherapist, and then your hypnotherapy falls under your psychotherapy licensing. And if you're really concerned about that, going to a psychotherapist for your hypnotherapy, it was like the top of the tree there, if you will, in knowing that you're getting somebody who has the training to do it. But a lot of psychotherapists don't like to do hypnotherapy. A lot of them think it's a bunch of woo-woo nonsense. So that's why there's a lot of people like me who is not a psychotherapist, although I do have a master's degree in metaphysical therapy. But I am a certified clinical hypnotherapist and belong to several different organizations that keep up certification, keep up the training, keep up the contact. So you're always kind of on the cutting edge, because things change a lot in the hypnotherapy field. There's always new scripting and new processes to use. It's really a fun field, and anybody interested in it, super fun field to get into. It's really awesome.
So for somebody, now you and I both live in Southern California, but for somebody who might be listening in Kansas or in Maine on the other side of the country, who can't walk into your office, I would think it gets hard to find somebody who could do this.
Well,
you know, who's local. I mean, you can't. It's a kind of thing that not everybody's accepting of, so people might think that you're not, so you can't ask at the PTA meeting, hey, does anybody know who I could go to for a past life regression? You know, it's
well,
it's
what
a,
you would want to do
kind of thing.
Is Google American Board of Hypnotherapists, and there are a bazillion hypnotherapists. So just go to ABH, American Board of Hypnotherapists, and you can find a hypnotherapist, and then you can check, you know, on their qualifications, kind of what we were talking about here, and check it that way. Because ABH is,
now,
I think, Canada and North America.
Is this something that you need to walk into somebody's office and be able to do in person? Is this the kind of thing that you could do through Skype or Zoom or FaceTime or something like that?
I do hypnotherapy a lot through Skype and FaceTime, but it depends on the situation. If it's really a traumatic thing, I won't do it over that because I like to be able to touch my client to bring them back. If it's in something that's really a traumatic thing, like I do like weight loss and smoking cessation, and I do fears and phobias a lot over it and kind of compulsive behaviors, but things that really have like a traumatic, still has a really traumatic trigger, I would probably want to do it in person unless it's somebody that I know. Now, so there's a lot of different variables there. Like if it's somebody that I know that I've been working with that is attuned to my voice, that trusts me, that listens to me, and that obeys my every word. No, but that is used to me and trusts me. I wouldn't have a problem working with them over Skype or FaceTime, or I even do Zoom so that we can record it. Because I know those people are going to listen to me, and I know that if an emotional thing comes up, that they'll listen to me so that I can bring them out. Somebody who's brand new, who's really in, you know, really, really struggling, I would probably send them to a therapist that they could find that's close by them. So it's a couple different things. But I work with a lot of people. I got clients in Canada, back in New York, England, Australia. So I work with people all over the place. But it's a case by case situation. It really is.
Yeah. There's so much of all the things that we talk about on the show that are not a one size fits all. And I think that's something for people that a lot of people have a hard time getting their heads around, because it doesn't work the same for everybody. I know that the way I meditate, most people would not. I use lots of different kinds of music, and not the new agey kind of stuff that you usually think about with meditation music. I'll use popular artists. I'll use Frank Sinatra. I will use Nirvana. It depends on what the intention for that meditation is, but I will use lots of different things, and that won't work for everyone. And I totally get that. That's fine, but it works for me.
Yeah.
And I think that this is similar to that, that it won't, that there isn't a one size fits all. And I'm sure that's part of the reason that you have several different methods that you use depending on lots of things.
Absolutely.
I didn't mean to eat up so much of the show with this, but I think it's fascinating, and I think there's a good chance that, you know, somebody listening, I'm hoping that this would help you. This wasn't just about me, because I could cover all of this with Michelle off the air, what happened to me, but I just feel like the way that it happened, that it was a sudden thing that I wasn't looking for, wasn't expecting, wasn't even thinking about, really just wanted to go to sleep. And the way that it hit out of the blue, and the way that I felt so certain of some of the circumstances around this, and that this was not just me being overtired, that this was, that I had that inkling, whether it was guides whispering in my ear or hitting me in the head with a hammer, as sometimes the case is, that I just knew, and then you know, and that it happened again in this restaurant, which was really weird. Yeah. Was certainly not thinking about that at all. I was thinking about the potato skins we had just ordered. I mean, I was food focused. I was not thinking about. And then the other night, I was ready to go to sleep. I had done my little gratitude meditation. You know, it was probably as I was starting that, I started to feel it creeping in. This was before I saw the light. And before I saw the light, that's funny. No, before there was a little light that I'm pretty sure I saw. But wasn't thinking about this at all, either of those times. And I just think that sometimes this kind of thing creeps in, and especially if you are just starting out and you're opening lots of doors and lots of things and learning lots of stuff and letting lots of things come in, that there's a good chance that this is going to come in all right along with all that stuff. And and if you start to have, and it's you know, and that's when it's, I was going to say that's when it's really tough. I don't know that there's a time when it's easy to deal with this. But when you are learning so many different things and you're trying to learn not just to trust your intuition, but what your intuition is, what it feels like, what it sounds like, what it smells like, whatever, all of those things, when you're just starting to communicate with spirit, with angels, and you're trying to sort out what that sounds like and feels like and everything, and then you have this snaking its way in along with that stuff, and you don't know what to make of it. And what is that? Hopefully this has given you a little bit of a clue with that. And maybe it bears some more investigation. And you can certainly reach out to Michelle. Even if you're not going to have her do a regression on you, you can ask her questions or ask if she can point you in the right direction of a book to read. I can tell you Brian Weiss's books are wonderful on the subject. He really blew this out of the water. And he came at this as a skeptic. He didn't buy any of this stuff. He thought it was a bunch of mumbo jumbo nonsense. So his stuff is great if you want to just read up on it. But I just felt like this was something worth sharing. And in hopes that if anybody else has had or is having a similar experience or has one later tonight, and hopefully it's not my fault that you did, but that you sort of get a handle on it and figure out why that's happening and be able to use some of Michelle's methods of getting somebody to help you sort it out and figure out what is going on, why it's happening, and how you can deal with it. I was going to say make it stop, but that's not exactly right. You want to be able to deal with it so that, yes, it stops, but not so that you just kick the can down to the next life.
So, right,
yeah,
exactly.
Do your next life you a favor and take care of it now. And there are a bunch of people on the phone, so we should probably take some calls, and that means I should stop talking so much. any Michelle, any last thoughts or anything that we didn't touch upon that you think anybody should know, the whole past life thing, before we start grabbing some of these calls?
Well, one thing that I found just over the last, I don't know what, 15, 16 years I've been doing this. Past life, people have had many, many, many past lives. You know, you've been kings and queens and leaders, and you've been paupers, and you've been everything in between, you know. And it's a really fascinating field of study for people that might be looking for something to go into. But it's also really fascinating to, you know, learning to understand yourself. A lot of people like to do the regression work to find out, you know, if there's somebody famous, but somebody was famous, you know, and it's okay. It's okay. I typically work with people that are struggling in life But there are people that do past life regression to find out stuff like if you were on the Titanic or, you know, if you were somebody famous somewhere. There's nothing wrong with that. I actually have a rather famous past life myself, which shocked the heck out of me. And find there's so many similarities to my life, to her life. But it's interesting because it's really good. And if you find yourself with patterns that you can't seem to break, looking into the past life possibility of that is really good. And if you think about it, you know, we're eternal beings. I've done past life work with people who've been on another planet, which was really cool. You know, so there's that whole aspect too. It's a vast and wild field, and you know, it's good to play with it. Just make sure you get somebody that knows what they're doing, and read Brian Weiss's books. You know, if you're just wondering about it or have a little bit of interest, go read Many Lives, Many Masters, and start there. Absolutely fabulous book, and that's what opened my mind up to it. I had several people who told me, because I do meditation a lot, and I'd love to do guided meditations. And people say, oh my God, your voice is so good. It's all rough right now. But oh my God, your voice is so good. You should be a hypnotherapist. I was like, yeah. And then all of a sudden I read Brian Weiss's book, and that's why I became a hypnotherapist. And then I specialized in the past life regression stuff. So it's fascinating. But go do it. Go try it out.
And if I can add, you know, as you were talking about finding out if you're somebody famous, don't be disappointed in whatever you find out, because everybody who's listening right now was not on the Titanic. Sorry. Everybody's listening right now did not fight in the Civil War, and that's okay. Everybody who's listening right now was not a president of the United States. And
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
But many of you were. So that possibility is out there too. But yeah, it's not about who you were as a famous person. It's who you were as a person.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of great people throughout time that were unsung heroes. And there's a lot of great people who lived magnificent lives and changed lives and did good in the world. There's a lot of people that did bad. One of my past life things is I was a torturer in the White Tower there in London. That was quite a shock.
Well,
now I'm a healer.
it's my understanding, and Michelle, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, but it's my understanding that we come to each life to learn something, to experience something. And sometimes it's good things and sometimes it's not. But all of it helps makes our soul who we are. And so you don't, you know, it's, don't be disappointed and don't feel ashamed. If you were somebody who was not such a nice person before, there was something in that experience you needed to learn, and there is something in that experience that those who came in contact with you needed to learn.
Right.
I'm not being dismissive of murderers and thieves and torturers. But we all come here time and time again to learn different things. And sometimes we are a pillar of virtue, and sometimes we're great philanthropists or great healers or great whatever. Sometimes we're the king of rock and roll, and sometimes we're bad guys. But it's just a matter of being able to learn. And sometimes we're here as examples to others.
Yep.
And that ain't easy, but anyhow, I said that I wasn't going to talk too much.
Hey. And ordinary people are magnificent too. You know, a lot of people think of just ordinary people, but there's magnificence and importance and value in learning in every single life that you've lived.
Everything you do.
It really is.
Everybody you come in contact with, sometimes, and you are in charge of that. You are in charge of what you're doing this time around. You can make the choice on how you treat those who connect with you. When you're having a bad day, you send somebody away happier than when they came to you. That's wonderful. And it makes a difference to them, even if you think that you're just an insignificant, normal person. But you do something nice for somebody else, and that's wonderful. And it's wonderful for them. And that's important stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, off the soapbox.
Totally.
Okay. 347-838-9903 is the number. Or you can post something in the chat room. Hi to everybody in the chat room. Or send it to us through social media, facebook.com/psychictapestry, at psychictapestry on Twitter, or through the website psychictapestry.com. In the lower right, you'll see a little blue box that says send us a message, and you can connect that way as well. Not a lot of time left to connect, so hop to it if you wanted to. Michelle, in addition to being...
It's almost Easter.
It is. Hop to it. In addition to being a regressionist and a hypnotherapist and everything that we've already talked about, you are also an intuitive coach, master energy healer, spiritual teacher, author, blog talk radio host, medium, angel communicator. Did I leave anything out?
I am also now officially a voiceover artist. I'm working doing some voiceover work and looking at doing commercials. So just getting all my stuff. Yeah, good fun. And doing audiobooks too.
Very cool.
One of the things I want to do is do audiobooks for kids' books. So I'm working towards that as well. I know. How fun would it be to read Dr. Seuss books? And give a voice to them. As read by.
That would be very
nice.
That would be very nice. But don't use that voice. Unless it's the Grinch. You can use that for the Grinch, probably.
That would be the Grinch. You're a mean one.
Okay. Getting back on the rails. So for the people who are calling in, are you using cards? Are you talking to dead people? Are you talking to angels? Doing a mix? Seeing what happens?
All the above. All.
Okay. Nice. I use music. In fact, it just launched. I usually use an online cloud player and load it up with thousands of songs. And I turned it on just as we started because I usually do. But I'm turning it off right now because I have launched Tapestry Radio, which is an online radio station that everybody can listen to. And I asked my guides and angels to give the song that's for you when you tune in or while you're listening. So I'm gonna use the music coming from there. So when you call in, I'll let you know what song is playing and what I think it means for you. And I'll also let you know if your guide or somebody else's guide or some other dead person comes through and wants to let you know something, I'll let you know that.
Beautiful.
With all that. Yeah. I hope so. With all that said, and I know it was a lot, let's start grabbing some phone calls. Hi. Thanks for hanging on. What's your first name?
Hi, my name's Karen, calling from Chicago.
Hi, Karen. How can we help you tonight?
I'm just kind of wondering what you see for a career for me, if anything just comes up, if you see me getting something.
Are you looking for a job right now?
Yes. Yes, I registered with 3 agencies. I applied for a government job, so kind of got some feelers out all over the place.
Well, I want to just say right out of the gate, I feel like you've got something. I'm actually using crystal cards today, so I'm going to I want to pull a couple off you. I feel like in about 3 weeks, this is going to kind of shift for you. Meaning something's going to pop up for you. I almost feel like it's not anything that you've – it's kind of like either you haven't applied to the place yet or the information you have sent out hasn't gotten to the right person yet. But I do want to tell you it is – the information is out there. Make sure that you're keeping your mind on a positive outcome. Something that's really, really strong. You're very powerfully minded. You have a strong mind. When you think something, you make it happen. And what I'm getting is just make sure that you're keeping your mind on what you want and not get frustrated that things haven't been moving for you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm very impatient.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really important that you take that energy of your mind and put it towards what you want, not put it towards what's not happening for you. Okay? Do you get how that works?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Good. Because your final card here that is coming up is the card of Amazonite, which is about you being able to create exactly what you want. And Amazonite is a green stone. And it's also a stone of abundance and money. So it is coming, I want to say, about 3 weeks. Can you hang on that long?
I'm trying.
Yeah, because it feels like it's going to be about 3 weeks. And I'm not sure if it's 3 weeks you'll actually start working or if it's 3 weeks the job will pop up. Because I know that these days, like, getting a job can take forever sometimes. But I am getting 3 weeks from now. So that's going to put you in to the second week of April. Yeah, you know what? I just feel like you're going to be working by mid-April.
Okay.
I really feel that strong. So it's super important. Keep your mind on what you want, not on what you're not getting. And it's really important. You might even want to write that down.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But you're going to be good, and it's going to be a good job. It's going to be a good job. You're going to have the money. It's going to be very close to what you want. And so the more you use that, your mental power, because you got that mental power, use it on to create what you want. Are you a Capricorn by chance?
I'm an Aries.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. That's right where I was going to go. If you were in a Capricorn, you were in an Aries because you have that head energy. That you have, use it to your benefit, man. Just keep picturing what you want, you know, and not like where you want to work, but how you want it to be. You want good people around you, people that are supportive and respectful, you know, happy coworkers, make a lot of money, you know, good working environment, good leadership, all that stuff, and just focus on it, focus on it, focus on it, picture it. Daydream it, visualize it, whatever you need to do, and put all that power of your mind into that. And don't think on what you're not getting.
Okay.
And it's going to be like, bam, it'll be right there for you. You're a manifester, honey.
I started that last night. I kept saying that like a mantra, something close to that, almost pretty much like something happy people,
awesome.
Good people, being happy. Yeah, something
awesome.
Like that last night.
Yeah, see, you already know.
It's just waiting.
I know. Don't be impatient. It takes a while for something that's awesome to create. So be patient, but be diligent on keeping your mind on what it is you desire, because it's there for you. So good luck with that. Ken, do you have anything to add?
I do. Thank you, Michelle. The song that was playing was an instrumental song called Mexico by Bob Moore and his orchestra. And I don't feel like this means that you need to move to Mexico for your job. I feel like this is about something that might be a little bit outside of what you'd expect. So to keep an open mind for that, if an opportunity comes up that's a little bit out of your comfort zone or a little bit out of what you normally do or what you're normally looking for, I think there's a really good opportunity coming your way for that. And I think it's going to be an opportunity to work with a lot of great people. Bob yeah. Moore worked with Elvis, and he worked with Jerry Lee Lewis, and he worked with Bob Dylan and Sammy Davis Jr. and Arthur Fiedler and the Boston Pops and Andy Williams. If you know the song King of the Road by Roger Miller, that's him playing the bass at the beginning of that song. He knew all of the biggies back in the 50s and 60s. And I just feel like this means that you're going to get the opportunity to work on a lot of things, a lot of great things that are going to matter to a lot of people. Even if it's not your name on them, I think you're going to be able to be a part of a lot of really cool stuff. So just kind of keep your mind open for something that's a little bit outside of your comfort zone, a little bit something that you might not otherwise have even looked twice at, but something that piques your interest. If something comes along and you go, you know, I always wanted to do something like that, but I'm not sure, this is the universe telling you, be sure. Do it. Okay. Check it out.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. Sounds good. I'll keep an eye out for it, and I'll let you guys know.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Karen. Good luck.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
For calling. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
347-838-9903 is the number. Hi, thanks for hanging on. What's your first name?
Hi, my name is Savannah.
And where are you calling from?
New York. Lots of New York.
And how can we help you tonight?
Can you tell me anything about my current relationship?
Are you with this person? Like what? I feel like the other person is like not pleasant. Does that make sense? Are you guys broken up?
No, I'm in a shelter in the Bronx, and he's in Brooklyn.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm feeling. Because I can just feel it's like you guys are separate. You know, you guys are separate. And yet I can still feel the tie there. You're asking about this relationship and what it is. And basically what I'm feeling is it's really about everybody, you deciding on what you want in life and him deciding what he wants in life. Because right now it's like you guys aren't flowing together. It feels like he's kind of off doing his thing, you're off doing your thing, and you don't have plans, really strong plans with steps to get you guys back together. Does that make sense?
It does. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and it's time for you guys to do that so that you both know the steps that each of you are taking to be together. You're a smart girl, honey. You're a very, very smart girl.
Thank you.
You can have and do anything that you want. It's important for you to sit down like now because we're also sitting on full moon energy this weekend and kind of decide what do you want in life? You know, it's like, where do you want to be? What do you want to be? I feel like you've been in maybe survival mode for a while, just one foot in front
Literally.
Of the other, doing what you need to do. Yeah, and you are, part of it is because when you get into survival mode, it's hard to get out of that mode because you're so consumed with everything that needs to be done. But you have 15 minutes every single day to think on what you want. And when you start putting that energy into what you desire, things begin to change for you. And I feel like that this relationship that you're in, I feel you guys still together. I feel like that there's a lot of caring there, but I also feel like your situation right now, you have to do it. He's not going to do it for you. You have to do it. So it's kind of like you're on your own in this one, but it's good because I'm going to tell you a secret. You're going to go further right now without him. So whatever's going on there, you're the powerful one and you're the smart one. And I'm not dissing him at all. He's got his thing going on. But you're the powerful one and you're the smart one. And if you get moving in the right direction and take those 15 minutes a day to think on what you want and start taking steps towards that, you're going to go a lot further. And then there'll be an opportunity in the future for you guys to be together again. But you've got this. Matter of fact, Archangel Michael just told me to tell you, you've got this. You're going to be fine. But you got to start working on it.
Okay, so I'm also pregnant. I was just hoping you picked something up from that. So is he going to be there for the baby, or
he will
like in and out?
Well,
he doesn't seem excited. Like, I don't know. He doesn't seem as excited as I am.
It's because the situation is a little dicey right now. He's not sure. He's not sure how. What to do or how to handle it just now. But when you start moving and you start getting yourself focused and you start moving, that's going to change that. He'll be around. He'll be there. But when you're standing on your feet and you're being the powerful woman that you are, it's a lot more likely he'll stand next to you.
Wow. Okay.
He doesn't want to carry you. He wants to stand next to you. And
yeah, it makes sense. He's always a lot older than me.
Yeah, and you're smart. You're powerful. Stop.
Thank you. I needed that.
Yeah, stop being a woman who needs to be taken care of, and start being a woman who is who you are. Which you're a freaking force to be reckoned with when you're standing on your own two feet. And I can see that you've been knocked down. I can see that you've had some what unfortunate events, right? Quote unquote. But
yeah, like
that is not
a shelter situation.
You can get out of that. Yeah, you can get out of that. And I also feel like there's some.
It's like a waiting game. I have a voucher, and I've been calling relatives, but no one. It's like once you mention, because I don't have a job, I want to apply for. I have to apply for. Disability because I have carpal tunnel on both hands.
Yeah.
So it's like with me not having an income and only having the voucher, they're not interested. And then it's another program where I could get New York City housing, but that's like a 6 to 9 month wait. I mean, it could be sooner, but it's like you just never know. But that
just make sure you're on the list, all the lists that you need to be on, because miracles happen. And, if you start looking for a job, you will have a job by, they're showing me, April 16th.
Wow.
So
someone to hire me pregnant?
You can do it. Yeah, there's something for you. Yeah. Yeah.
So don't do the disability? No, what?
Well, you know what? Do it all. Do it all. Throw everything on the wall and see what sticks.
Oh, wow. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. You're strong. When you start feeling lifted again and not feeling, like you kind of been knocked down. Also, Archangel Michael wants to tell you that just because things went a little bit, he's saying, sideways for you. It doesn't mean that's who you are. It means what happened. But it doesn't mean it's who you are. And he wants you to know the difference. He wants you to understand the difference between what happened and who you are. Do you understand what he's talking about?
I get it, because I'm in a domestic violence shelter situation with my mom.
Oh.
And I was but in the beginning I was feeling really bad, but I had to do it for me and my children.
Yep, and that's okay. It's just a temporary setup. You're taking care of things. You are strong. You're strong.
You be the
amazing person that you are. Okay? And it's interesting because the cards I pulled for you is the angels are watching over you. You're going to totally be able to manifest what you need. And it's called Fugelrite. It's a crystal, and it's created by lightning striking sand. So it's like as soon as you, starting right now hearing these words, remember how powerful you are. You're going to be able to get the job, get what you need, like lightning striking sand. Bam! Oh, there it is. Bam! Oh, there it is. Bam! Oh, there it is. But you've got to get your head right in the right place.
Yeah, that makes so much. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yep, you've done it before, so you know you can do it. So do it again.
Oh, wow.
And now you got
your
kids to do it for.
Yeah, my angels. Oh, my gosh. I ask myself, what did I do to deserve them all the time?
Oh, that's so sweet. So good luck with everything. I know you're going to be great. And then let's see if Ken has anything to add to that.
Okay. This is an exciting call.
I was tempted to say what Michelle said, but the song that was playing was a Beatles song called Matchbox, and the part that really sticks out to me for you is the lines: "I'm an old poor boy, and I'm a long, long way from home. I'll never be happy because everything I've ever done was wrong." And I feel like what that means for you is that you have to, like Michelle was saying, you got to change your attitude, because even though maybe there were some bad choices, maybe some of it's not your fault, all of that was yesterday. Tomorrow's a fresh start. You can be whoever you want to be and do whatever you want to do. And you don't have to carry that baggage of any sort of past problems or failures around with you. You just know that you're awesome, you're amazing, you deserve the best, and you pump that into your attitude. And I know it's easy for me to say, and it doesn't mean that you're not going to slip along the way, because it's hard to do that when you've had hard times. It's hard to turn all of that around, but just try, because you can. I know you can. And just remember that you deserve to be happy. Just remember you deserve to be happy. And you carry that with you, you'll be able to shift the way you look at things. And I think that's so important for you right now, okay?
Yeah, I need to. Thank you so much, Jess. Wow, thank you so much, guys.
You're so welcome, honey. I'll keep you in my prayers.
Please, absolutely. Thank you. Thank you so much. Have a good night. I want to stay on the line.
Thank
you. I love you guys.
Okay.
Oh, very cool. Love it.
All right, hang on here. Just a sec, let me click that, and I think we could squeeze in maybe one more. Hi, thanks for hanging on. What's your first name?
Hi, guys. It's Rose Maria. I haven't talked to you guys for a while.
Hi, Rose Maria.
How are you guys?
How can we help you? How can we help you tonight? We're running out of time.
I have a quick question. I was talking to a friend that's kind of psychic, spiritual like I am, and you guys, about going back and if it's going to work out with the one I'm interested in, and when I go back with open arms, if it's red flags, he's not communicating with me right now, so I wonder how is that going to work out when I go home.
Why am I seeing two people? Do you have two? you have somebody else that you're interested in.
That's not going to work out because he's here in the U.S., but he doesn't want anybody to go out with at work, but I let that one go. And the one I'm still interested in, he's overseas where I want to go home.
Okay. All right. Thank you, because that helps. Because I'm like, you got two, girl.
that makes sense.
Yeah, totally does. I'm like, oh. You know what? The one that you want to go home to is he's being stubborn. he's kind of doing a thing like, kind of almost like giving you quiet time so that you will understand how valuable he is. And I'm using the word valuable very specifically, because what I'm getting is it's like he feels kind of emasculated. He feels like he's been kind of maybe betrayed. Not that you've lied or cheated necessarily, but like he hasn't been valued. And he's hurt. He's angry because especially with men, sorry, all you men listening, but when men get hurt, they go straight into anger. And oftentimes women do too. So he's right. Angry, but really underneath it, he's really, really hurt. So he's just kind of giving you that arm's length and just being like, no, you just stay away. But I'm going to tell you that he really does care about you. It's probably a really good idea that if he's not talking to you right now, give him his space. Just be like, you know what, I'm going to honor you that and give you that space. And I feel like if you do that, if you stop trying to contact him, which I don't feel like you're being psycho girl, that, you know, you're not calling him every day.
Like I used to, yeah.
Yes, yeah. We've all done it. We've all done it.
And my lot calmer through this time if I leave him a message.
Yeah. It's like give him that space. Give him an opportunity to kind of miss you too. Because right now it's like he knows you're there. But if you give him a little bit of space when he has to go, oh, wait, where'd she go? It kind of will shift the dynamic a little bit. He does really care about you. There is a possibility for you guys to get back together, but it's really important that you not push him and rush him and that you really honor his process in this. Because I feel like this isn't the first time you guys have kind of been in the situation or been kind of like broken up or whatever.
Right.
And it's like he's kind of tired of the same old, same old. And right. So don't push him. Honor him. Because this could be a really good relationship. But I feel like that there's kind of both of you guys kind of step on each other's boundaries. I don't see meanness, but it's like you kind of step on each other's boundaries. You're a little bit rough with each other's hearts. How's that? Stop it. Stop it. If you really love this man, start loving him and stop testing him and pushing him because he's ready to love you, but he's scared.
Yeah, I know. The way I left, too. Yeah, I know the way I left and everybody else that left, but I left kind of abruptly what he did. So.
Yeah. So it's just, you know, be kind to him and be kind to yourself. It's not just about him.
Right.
You know, be kind to yourself, too. It's, you know, when you're kind to yourself, it's easier to be nice to others, too, you know.
You're right.
I gotta jump in because Blog Talk Radio is going to cut us off here in a second. Rosemary, I'm going to tell you real quick. The song that was playing was Steve Winwood, "While You See a Chance." While you see a chance, take it. This is trusting your intuition, not waiting for somebody else to make the move or to tell you what to do. You need to, when you feel it in your gut, when you have that inkling of something to do, something to say, you got to do it. And I'm sorry, but we're running out of time, so I have to leave it there. Apologies to everybody else on the phone that we talked so long we couldn't get to you, but we will be back next week at our regular time at 5:30. So I hope you can join us then. In the meantime, thanks everybody for listening. Thanks to everybody in the chat room. Thank you, Michelle. And have a great night. We'll catch you next week.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Ha 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 ha